This is America in the Morning from Westwood One. Good morning, I'm John Trout. It's Thursday, April 18th, 2024. Here's what's coming up on America in the Morning.
No trial for the impeached head of Homeland Security.
Not a proud day in the history of the Senate.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington.
House Speaker Mike Johnson's Ukraine and Israel aid package is getting high-level backing. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
After 2 days of Donald Trump's hush money criminal trial, 7 jurors were picked.
I think he's totally conflicted.
I'm Julie Walker.
The 4 people accused of killing 2 Kansas women appear in court. I'm Clayton Neville.
On Wall Street, the markets are coming off a lackluster day in the red, except for United Airlines. Its shares soared. I'm Jessica Ettinger.
From Pennsylvania, politician faces arrest. In Texas, it's all about chips. All ahead on America in the Morning. The impeachment of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas over the migrant crisis at the southern border was stopped abruptly, even before a Senate trial could begin. Correspondent Linda Kenyon has the latest from Washington.
It was over almost as soon as it began.
This is a day that's not a proud day in the history of the Senate.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell decrying that the Senate shot down 2 articles of impeachment sent over by the House.
It doesn't make any difference whether our friends on the other side thought he should have been impeached or not. He was. And by doing what we just did, we have in effect ignored the directions of the House, which were to have a trial.
In fact, even before the trial started, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said the charges had no merit.
For the sake of the Senate's integrity and to protect impeachment for those rare cases we truly need it, senators should dismiss today's charges.
And he added the charges did not rise to the most basic standard required for conviction and removal from office.
Senators will provide as jurors in the least legitimate, least substantive, and most politicized impeachment trial ever in the history of the United States.
Texas Republican Ted Cruz begged to differ.
The majority leader has argued that Secretary Mayorkas's defiance of federal immigration law and active aiding and abetting of the worst criminal invasion in our nation's history does not constitute a high crime or misdemeanor.
House Speaker Mike Johnson, who presided over the House's impeachment of Mayorkas, spoke to reporters.
In my view, I believe my evaluation is he's probably the least effective and I think most dangerous in terms of his policy implementations of any cabinet secretary in the history of the United States. And if there's ever been a cabinet secretary that deserved to be impeached, he is that.
But House and Senate Democrats argued the situation at the southern border could have been tackled if the House had passed border security legislation. But the Speaker would not bring a bill to the floor for a vote, perhaps lending credence to the frequent argument that Republicans did not want a solution so much as they wanted a campaign issue. Linda Kenyon, Washington.
House Speaker Mike Johnson has unveiled his plan to fund Ukraine, Israel, and other U.S. allies, and it has a high-level backing. Washington correspondent Sagar Meghani reports what Johnson doesn't have is the support of his own party, as Congressman Matt Gaetz, speaking on CNN, said he's firmly against any money going to Kyiv in their fight against Russia.
For hours last night and proposed different paths for the Speaker that would have avoided the abject surrender represented by his strategic choice here. There's no other way to describe it. It's surrender. It's disappointing. I won't support it.
House Speaker Mike Johnson's Ukraine and Israel aid package is getting high-level backing. The House's hard-right flank is not on board, but President Biden is, saying he strongly supports Johnson's plan to push for votes on 3 packages for Ukraine, Israel, and Indo-Pacific allies, plus a 4th bill with other foreign policy items. Populist conservatives are furious over the idea of funding Ukraine at all, and Johnson risks losing his job.
My philosophy is you do the right thing and you let the chips fall where they may. If I operated out of fear over a motion to vacate, I would never be able to do my job. Look, history judges us for what we do. This is a critical time right now. What we've done here in the House is we've taken the House supplemental or the Senate supplemental, and we've made it into our own. It's an improvement in the process, an improvement in the policy.
But lawmakers also heard from the Pentagon's top leaders about the need for immediate aid to Kyiv.
Ukraine right now is facing some dire battlefield conditions. And it's partly because their capability from a resourcing standpoint, from whether it's munitions, whether it's vehicles, whether it's platforms.
Joint Chiefs Chairman C.Q. Brown, alongside Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, who says those conditions are starting to shift in Russia's favor.
We're seeing them make incremental gains. We're seeing the Ukrainians be challenged in terms of holding the line. They're doing a very good job, a credible job. But in order to continue to do that, they're going to need, the right materials, the right munitions, the weapons to be able to do that.
Votes on the funding packages are expected Saturday. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
When we return on America in the Morning, update to a couple stories we're following. Trump trial and murder in Oklahoma. Suspects day in court. We're back after these messages.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Welcome back. This is America in the Morning. We still have some below freezing low temperatures greeting our listeners this morning in parts of the country. Here's AccuWeather.com meteorologist LaTroy Thornton.
Behind a cold front that is crossing the center of the nation today, rather chilly air will filter into the northern and central plains, bringing morning lows in the 20s and 30s for mainly western parts of the Dakotas this morning, with 20s potentially reaching as far east as northern Minnesota and perhaps even parts of northern Wisconsin for Friday morning, leading to a couple of frosty mornings the next couple of days. Daytime highs will be 5 to 10 degrees below the historical average through much of that region, meaning the temperatures only rise into the 30s and 40s for many. The same cold front is expected to produce severe weather from southern Indiana into eastern Kansas and southward through the Memphis and Dallas metropolitan areas today as it pushes into a warm and moist air mass. Thunderstorms in that area will be capable of producing damaging hail, strong winds, and a few tornadoes through Thursday evening before winding down later tonight. Farther to the east, it's going to be a wet day from eastern New York across New England as a storm crosses the northeast, and spotty showers can even lag behind into parts of western Virginia and west Pennsylvania, especially early in the day. Outside of a stray shower along the Outer Banks to start, most of the southeast also looks dry today. Quiet conditions are also in store through a majority of the west, with very dry air in place for most. Warmer air gradually lifts northward from coastal California into western Washington and Oregon through the end of the week, and even into the interior west for Friday. However, a disturbance will spark some rain and high-elevation snow showers today for the northern Rockies of Idaho and Montana. In Chicago, look for sun to give way to clouds today with afternoon showers and a high around 60. Phoenix, Arizona will see sunshine and very warm conditions today with a high of 94. That's the nation's weather. I'm AccuWeather.com meteorologist LaTroy Thornton.
Follow us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, YouTube. Just search America in the Morning in your favorite listening app. I'm John Trout in New York City. Jury selection continues in the so-called hush money trial for former President Donald Trump. Correspondent Julie Walker reports the first seven jurors have been chosen.
After 2 days of Donald Trump's hush money criminal trial, seven jurors were picked. Five more are still needed, plus six alternates. At the end of court Tuesday, Trump accused the judge of rushing the trial.
We are going to continue our fight against this judge. We think he's totally conflicted.
The jurors chosen are an information tech worker, an English teacher, an oncology nurse, a sales professional, a software engineer, and two lawyers. Opening statements begin as early as next week. Trump denies charges of falsifying business records to keep stories about his sex life secret. At court in Manhattan, I'm Julie Walker.
The four people accused of killing two Kansas women appeared in court for the first time in Oklahoma. Correspondent Clayton Neville reports the accused face charges including first-degree murder.
The court hearing in Texas County, Oklahoma was emotional at times. In fact, the father of one of the victims had to be held back as he yelled obscenities about the suspects. Tension inside the courthouse and outside as local officers were more visible than during a typical midweek hearing.
So we're going to take those extra precautions.
27-year-old Veronica Butler and 39-year-old Jillian Kelly went missing late last month while traveling from Kansas to Texas County. They were on their way to pick up Butler's kids during court-ordered visitation and then go to a birthday party. Family members called police after finding the car the women were riding in abandoned. A search began, and eventually four people were arrested. KOCO-TV spoke with friends and family of the women.
Our family lost a beautiful young baby.
Cole Twombly, Cora Twombly, Tiffany Adams, and Tad Cullum now charged with two counts of first-degree murder, two counts of kidnapping, and one count of first-degree conspiracy to commit murder. They were all in court yesterday. I'm Clayton Neville.
Boeing whistleblower testifies, mortgage rates nearing 20-year high. We'll have those stories when America in the Morning continues after these messages. This is America in the Morning. The Business Report is sponsored by Fisher Investments. Fisher Investments has a team of specialists in investing, financial planning, estate planning, and more. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com. Let's get after it Thursday business with CNBC's Jessica Ettinger.
Wall Street opens this morning after a volatile day for stocks that ended with modest losses for the major averages.
We're washing out some of the excess enthusiasm that we came coasting into the month of April. And now we get a little bit of a washout of some of that enthusiasm.
Ritholtz Wealth's Josh Brown on CNBC. The Dow dragged lower by shares of Travelers. The insurance company was hurt by extreme weather. But the best performing stock yesterday was a high flyer.
The single best performer in the entire S&P 500 is United Airlines on the heels of a better than expected quarterly report and a better forecast for the current quarter as well. That has United shares flying high. American Airlines, Delta Airlines, Southwest, all part of that kind of ripple effect carry through trade in airlines. So among the best performers in the entire S&P.
CNBC's Dominic Chu. A hearing on Capitol Hill on the safety of Boeing 787 Dreamliners and 777s. A so-called whistleblower Boeing engineer testified to lawmakers.
He said, look, there are gaps in these planes. And he said there could be structural integrity questions that develop and these planes could break apart mid-flight. That's a pretty bombastic statement to make. 2 days ago, Boeing, they knew that this was coming. And this complaint had been lodged with the FAA some time ago. They did a deep dive, a technical briefing, explaining why they believe the gaps in the fuselage where they're brought together are well within conformance. And they believe that there's nothing to these allegations.
CNBC's Phil LeBeau. Oil fell as traders aren't worried about the Middle East right now. It was down 3% yesterday. Bitcoin dipped below 60,000 for the first time since early March. Trump media shares popped 18%, sitting around $27 a share now. The company's lost nearly half its value since it went public through a SPAC in late March.
Mortgage rates putting a dent in the spring home buying season. What's the forecast?
Yeah, mortgage rates hit 7.5% on a 30-year fixed home loan on Tuesday, back to where they were last Halloween, and just 0.5% from their 20-year high of 8% that we saw last October.
Without instilling too much hope among the mortgage audience out there, I still think the rates could go down to 5%, because once the thing turns around, once shelter inflation allows CPI to come down, the game will be on and rates will move down very quickly. It wouldn't be a surprise if the lower end of that range is 5%, maybe even slightly lower.
That's Mortgage News Daily's Matt Graham. He gave his mortgage rate forecast to CNBC. On today's watch list, we get earnings from home builder D.R. Horton plus Netflix. We find out how many people applied for unemployment benefits last week, and we get existing home sales numbers for March.
Thank you, CNBC's Jessica Ettinger. Pennsylvania politicians' legal woes, also Biden's new $6 billion plan. Those stories when America in the Morning continues after these messages. Now 26 after the hour. An arrest warrant has been issued for Pennsylvania State Representative Kevin Boyle. According to the Philadelphia Police Department, the warrant for the Keystone State Democrat is for violating a restraining order. Boyle, who has served in the Pennsylvania State House since 2011, is no stranger to the law. Philadelphia's WPVI-TV reports Boyle was charged with harassment and violation of a protection from abuse order after showing up at his wife's house. Boyle also was in the news earlier this year when a video posted on social media showed him allegedly intoxicated at a bar, refusing to leave. Kevin Boyle's the younger brother of Pennsylvania Congressman Brendan Boyle, ranking member of the U.S. House Budget Committee. America in the Morning continues. The Biden administration says there's an agreement in place on funding for a more than $6 billion computer chip factory cluster to be built in Texas. Lisa Dwyer reports.
The Biden administration has reached an agreement to provide up to $6.4 billion in direct funding for Samsung Electronics to develop a computer chip manufacturing and research cluster in Texas. The funding is part of a total investment expected to exceed $40 billion, with much of that money coming from private money. The administration says that the investment will help reach the goal of producing 20% of the world's leading-edge computer chips in the United States by the end of the decade. The first factory is expected to be operational in 2026, the second, 2027, and an existing factory in Austin will be expanded. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
America in the Morning for Thursday, April 18th, 2024 is produced by Jeff McKay. Our senior producer is Kevin Delaney. I'm John Trout. This is Westwood One. This is America in the Morning from Westwood One. I'm John Trout. Coming up this half hour,
the hush money trial picks back up in New York City. I'm Clayton Neville.
House members grill the president of Columbia University and denounce anti-Semitism that they say is happening on her campus. I'm John Stolness in Washington.
President Biden wants a sharp boost in tariffs on Chinese steel. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
A massive 911 failure, the first report released on the deadly Maui wildfires and the latest from the Middle East. We'll have those stories.
The much-anticipated Bitcoin halving is happening this weekend. I'm Chuck Palm.
Melissa Gilbert remembers Little House 50 years after its debut. I'm Kevin Carr.
Back after these messages. Welcome back. This is America in the Morning, Thursday, April 18th. Here's the national weather forecast with AccuWeather.com meteorologist LaTroy Thornton.
Today, thunderstorms are expected to develop in the nation's center, with cities from Austin, Texas to Little Rock and St. Louis and eastward to Indianapolis all facing the risk for storms that are capable of producing destructive hail, strong wind gusts, and even a few tornadoes through the evening hours along an advancing cold front. The greatest risk in a place like Kansas City will be during the morning hours, with the southern end of the line in Texas firing up during the late day hours before storms gradually lose steam later tonight over the Tennessee and Ohio valleys. Behind that cold front, a spring chill takes over the northern plains and the Midwest as morning lows in the 20s and 30s push across the Dakotas and the upper Midwest over the coming days, and highs fall to 5 to 10 degrees below the historical average, meaning some areas of frost in the region. In the east, showers through parts of the interior mid-Atlantic and northeast, and steadier rain for New England and near the coast from the Delmarva Peninsula through New Hampshire will make for a damp Thursday in many places as a storm pushes to the north and east. After showers and thunderstorms for some on Wednesday, and with another storm bringing wet weather in the area on Friday, Thursday will bring the second of what will be three straight rainy days in spots. The West looks to be mainly dry overall today, and even through Friday, with a gradual warm-up spreading across the Pacific Northwest and even into some interior sections like Idaho and western Montana through the start of the weekend. However, before that, parts of the northern and central Rockies will see some showers of rain and snow the next couple of days. This will be most common through the higher terrain. That's the weather across America. I'm AccuWeather.com meteorologist LaTroy Thornton.
We hope you'll follow us wherever you get your podcasts. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, YouTube. Just search America in the Morning in your favorite listening app. I'm John Trout. After a day off, the so-called hush money trial against former President Donald Trump resumes today in a New York City courtroom as jury selection continues. Here's an update from correspondent Clayton Neville.
Jury selection picks back up today. It's a trial that involves allegations former President Donald Trump was part of a scheme to falsify records to cover up alleged hush money payments to porn star Stormy Daniels. That allegedly just before the 2016 election and connected to an affair with Daniels that Trump denies, as well as the criminal charges.
People don't like the persecution. They don't like what's going on. They don't like these fake prosecutors.
Trump, the first former president to stand criminal trial, and this the only current case against him expected to have its trial before the 2024 election. That Trump, of course, is the Republican frontrunner in.
This is all election interference at the highest level. It all comes out of Washington because they're losing badly. You know they're losing very badly. You do know.
The anonymous jury's not complete yet, but attorneys are well on their way. Seven Manhattan residents were selected to serve on Tuesday. We don't know exactly who they are, but we do know some about them. There's four men, three women. The oldest is middle-aged, and the panel has two lawyers. Three citizens originally from other countries, a teacher, a nurse, a salesman, and technology experts so far. The Trump trial doesn't meet on Wednesdays, but will resume today with Trump lawyer Alina Habba still frustrated with a judge in the case and his schedule.
She spoke with Fox News.
Not even allowing a father, never mind a former president, but a father attend his son's graduation. And let's not forget Passover. Okay, observant Jews have a right to go and pray to who they want and observe Passover, and this judge would not allow it, not for any of the attorneys.
As the trial resumes, lawyers will look to round out the jury and solidify alternates. All eyes back on Trump, who reportedly was singled out by the judge this week for making comments during questioning of one of the prospective jurors. I'm Clayton Neville.
4 months after three university presidents testified before a House committee about the rise of anti-Semitism on their campuses, a fourth, Columbia University President Nemet Shafik, defended her handling of the indignation at her school. John Stolness has more on a very contentious hearing.
Trying to reconcile the free speech rights of those who wanted to protest and the rights of Jewish students to be in an environment free of discrimination and harassment has been the central challenge on our campus and numerous others across the country.
In the wake of two Ivy League presidents' resignations after their disastrous testimony before House lawmakers back in December, Shafik admitted there has been a rise in anti-Semitic sentiment on her campus and told Congress she was committed to combating it.
I have spent most of my time since becoming president on these issues, holding over 200 meetings with groups of students, faculty, alumni, donors, parents, some of whom are here, and 20 meetings with other university presidents to learn from each other.
Shafik came under withering questioning from Republican Elise Stefanik, who asked about a professor named Mohammed Abdu, who she says was hired after the October 7th Hamas attacks and a few days after he posted that he was on the side of Hamas, Hezbollah, and Islamic Jihad.
What are the consequences in this case?
I have five cases at the moment who have either been either taken out of the classroom or dismissed.
And is he one of those?
He will never work at Columbia again.
So he has been terminated?
He has been terminated. And not just terminated, but his files will show that he will never work at Columbia again.
Democratic Congresswoman Ilhan Omar asked Shafik about some of the protests on campus.
Have you seen a protest saying we are against Jewish people?
No, I have seen.
Okay, thank you for that clarification.
Seconds later, Stefanik confronted Shafiq about her no answer to that question.
And Dr. Shafiq, you realize that at some of these events, the slurs and the chants have been F the Jews, death to Jews,
yep.
F Israel, no safe place, death to the Zionist state, Jews out. You don't think those are anti-Jewish?
Completely anti-Jewish. Completely unacceptable.
So you changed your testimony on that issue as well?
Some Jewish students have come forward claiming anti-Semitism has gone unchecked at Columbia University. John Stolness, Washington.
President Biden has called for sharply raising tariffs on Chinese metal products as he toured a steel factory in Pennsylvania. As correspondent Sagar Magani reports, the president's plan comes as he was campaigning with union workers in the all-important swing state and could lead to retaliatory tariffs from China.
At the United Steelworkers headquarters,
U.S. Steel has been an iconic American company for more than a century. And it should remain a totally American.
The president will call for tripling levies on Chinese steel and aluminum.
American owned, American operated by American union steelworkers, the best in the world. And that's going to happen, I promise you. China's steel companies don't need to worry about making a profit because the Chinese government is subsidizing them so heavily. They're not competing. They're cheating. And we've seen the damage here in America.
The White House insists the move is more about shielding American manufacturing from cheap imports than it is about firing up a union audience. Senior administration officials say China produces about half the world's steel and sells it on the world market for less than half what U.S.-produced steel costs. But higher tariffs can pose their own economic risks by potentially making steel and aluminum more expensive, and thus making things like cars and other key goods cost more for American consumers.
For all this tough talk on China, it never occurred to my predecessor to do any of that. The bottom line is I want fair competition with China, not conflict. And we're in a stronger position to win the economic competition of the 21st century against China or anyone else because we're investing in America and American workers again, finally. Yeah.
Sagar Magani, Washington.
When we return on America in the Morning, 911 outages in a half dozen states and big weekend for Bitcoin. Just a couple of the stories you'll hear next. We're back after these messages. I'm John Trout. Welcome back. You're with America in the Morning. Authorities are trying to figure out what led to a series of statewide 911 outages Wednesday night. There were reports that the entire 911 emergency call system in South Dakota failed, and other disruptions were reported in Nebraska, Texas, Iowa, Florida, Wisconsin, and Kentucky. Police and fire departments in Las Vegas also reported their service went down from landlines, not from cell phones. First responders in the affected cities and states hit by the outages took to social media to warn residents to use other phone numbers to call in emergencies. America in the Morning continues. The state of Hawaii released what it is calling the first phase of a probe into the cause of the catastrophic 2023 Maui wildfires. As correspondent Donna Warder reports, this 400-page report comes after months of delays and points one of the fingers of blame at a severe breakdown in communications.
The report says that the Maui Fire Department was no match for a series of blazes, including one that killed 101 people in August 2023 in the historic town of Lahaina.
It's important to remember, on August 8th, we experienced not just the worst fire in state history, we experienced the two worst fires in state history, occurring at the same time on the same island.
Chief Brad Ventura of the Maui County Fire Department says they've identified several areas for improvement.
First one's to fully stock our relief apparatus. Second's to create a statewide mutual aid program. Third is to create a communication plan to evacuate visitors and residents who speak different languages.
Last August, some firefighters carried victims piggyback over down power lines to safety. Another repeatedly drove a moped into a burning neighborhood to rescue residents one at a time. The report made public by the Western Fire Chiefs Association is the first of two major assessments of the fires coming out this week. I'm Donna Warder.
Tensions remain high in the Middle East as Iran is warning of what they're calling a massive retaliation if Israel responds to the recent missile and drone attack launched by Tehran. Lisa Dwyer reports.
Iran's president has warned that the tiniest invasion by Israel would bring a massive and harsh response as the region braces for potential Israeli retaliation after Iran's attack over the weekend. Iran launched hundreds of missiles and drones at Israel in response to an apparent Israeli strike on Iran's embassy compound in Syria on April 1st that killed 12 people, including two Iranian generals. The United Nations is urging maximum restraint between Israel and Iran. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is brushing off those calls, saying Israel will decide how to respond to Iran's attack. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Ukraine is assessing the damage after a lethal Russian attack that struck an apartment complex in a city north of the capital, Kyiv, killed 17 people. Correspondent Charles de Ledesma reports the action comes after Ukraine's military struck a Russian oil refinery using drones 3 days ago. And that happened after the Kremlin destroyed Kyiv's largest power plant.
Local Ukraine officials say three Russian missiles have slammed into a downtown area of the northern city of Chernihiv, hitting an eight-floor apartment building and killing at least eight people. The city's acting mayor says many more were injured in the Wednesday morning attack. The city lies some 90 miles north of the capital, Kyiv, near the border with Russia and Belarus, and has a population of around 250,000. The latest Russian bombardment comes as the war stretches into its third year and approaches what could be a critical juncture as a lack of further military support from Ukraine's Western partners increasingly leaves it at the mercy of the bigger Kremlin forces. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Set to take place this weekend, the unusual crypto event called the Bitcoin Halving. Chuck Palm explains in today's Tech Report.
In light of the upcoming Bitcoin Halving potentially happening this Saturday, here's a brief explanation of the event and what it means to you as a Bitcoin investor. Quick side note, this is not financial advice. Invest in any instrument at your own risk. The Bitcoin Halving happens every 210,000th Bitcoin that happens to be mined. It takes about 10 minutes to mine one single Bitcoin on a blockchain. Therefore, this event happens every 4 years or so. Bitcoins are awarded to miners for validating the transactions that happen on the blockchain, but the payout is eventually cut in half, effectively decreasing the rate at which new Bitcoins are introduced into circulation. It is predicted the magic Bitcoin will be mined this weekend, effectively cutting the number of remaining Bitcoins in half. For people mining Bitcoin, the halving results in a reduction of mining rewards, but doesn't necessarily lead to a lower profitability. In fact, historically, quite the opposite has been true. Tune in tomorrow to find out what this might mean to the Bitcoin market. I'm Chuck Palm.
Robert Workman checks in with a look at sports.
Prior to this NHL season, only three players had ever recorded 100 assists. Bobby Orr, Mario Lemieux, and Wayne Gretzky, who did it 11 times. Two more players have been added to that list this week. Connor McDavid with Edmonton on Monday, and last night Nikita Kucherov hit the century mark in the Lightning 6-4 win over the Maple Leafs. Kucherov also got his 44th goal and should win the scoring title. While Toronto's Austin Matthews was denied on 12 shots, he finishes with 69 goals, the most by any player since 1996. The regular season wraps up tonight. The Stanley Cup playoffs begin on Saturday. NBA, the East play-in round. The Sixers beat the Heat 105-104 to win the 7-8 game. They'll take on the Knicks in the first round starting Saturday. In the 9-10 matchup, the Bulls rolled over the Hawks. Kobe White, a career-high 42 points. Tomorrow, two elimination games. The Bulls and the Heat for the 8th seed in the East. Then the Kings and the Pelicans out west. Baseball, Tanner Houck tossed a three-hitter and the Red Sox beat the Guardians 2-0.
You probably get one, maybe two of these a season if you're lucky, where you just go out there and you feel like you can do no wrong.
That was Boston's first complete game shutout at Fenway in 7 years. Shutouts for the Nationals and the Brewers. Mariners ripped the Reds 5-1. Bryce Miller and the Killers allowed just one hit. It was an Ellie De La Cruz home run. Kyle Schwarber went deep twice for the Phillies in their win over the Rockies. Braves edged the Astros in 10. Marcell Ozuna with his league-leading 8th home run. That's Thursday Sports.
When we return on America in the Morning, Coast Guard heroes and a television milestone after these messages. We're back now on America in the Morning. A professional basketball player for the Toronto Raptors has been barred from playing in the NBA as a result of a sports betting scandal. Correspondent Gethin Coolbaugh has the update.
Jonte Porter has been banned for life from the NBA after a league probe found he disclosed confidential information to sports bettors and bet on games. The league said Porter gave a bettor information about his own health status prior to Toronto's game on March 20th. The league said an NBA bettor placed an $80,000 bet that Porter would not hit numbers set for him in parlays through an online sportsbook. The bet, which was frozen and not paid out, would have won $1.1 million. The 24-year-old forward averaged 3.7 points and 2.6 rebounds in 37 NBA games. I'm Gethin Coolbaugh.
The Coast Guard is being credited with rescuing a pregnant woman who needed urgent medical care. Drone footage showed the 35-year-old woman strapped to a gurney and being reeled into a Jayhawk helicopter from the deck of the Disney cruise line ship Fantasy in the Atlantic Ocean, 260 miles northwest of Puerto Rico. The Coast Guard sent the helicopter and another aircraft from a base in Miami. She was then flown to a hospital in San Juan for treatment. It was 50 years ago this week that the events surrounding the Ingalls family played out in America's living rooms. Kevin Carr reports on the anniversary of the debut of Little House on the Prairie.
50 years ago, one of television's most popular and endearing shows premiered as a TV movie. Little House on the Prairie aired on March 30, 1974, and went on to series later that fall. Based on the books of Laura Ingalls Wilder and her life in the late 1800s, Little House became a cultural phenomenon lasting 9 seasons. To celebrate the show's legacy, this past weekend, more than 18,000 fans gathered near Simi Valley, California, close to where the series was shot. This was the largest gathering of the surviving cast since the end of the series in 1983. Melissa Gilbert, who played Laura, attended the event. On Wednesday, she was a guest on USA Today's podcast, The Excerpt, to talk about her experiences.
The thing that moves me the most is when people tell me the stories of how Little House on the Prairie impacted their lives, what their childhoods were like, and why it was so important to them.
Gilbert also talked about how the show managed to have fans of all different political stripes, even when it tackled issues of the day, and why that trend continues now.
The conservative movement in this country considers Little House on the Prairie their show, and the liberal movement considers it their show because we were telling the stories of the 1970s.
Little House on the Prairie went into syndication before the series ended, which means it has been continually available to viewers since its debut in 1974. It is currently available to stream on Amazon Prime, Freevee, Pluto TV, and Peacock. I'm Kevin Carr.
Michael Landon, great actor. Little Joe Cartwright on Bonanza. Jonathan Smith in Highway to Heaven. America in the Morning for Thursday, April 18th, 2024 is produced by Jeff McKay. Production assistants Christian Matos, our senior producer Kevin Delaney. I'm John Trout. This is Westwood One.
The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
We're having a real conversation as real estate investors.
New episodes available every day.
It's important to buy where it makes money and not necessarily where you want to travel to.
Bigger Pockets, On the Market, Rookie Real Estate, or Money Podcast.
The purpose of flipping is to create more cash so then you can reinvest into other types of properties.
The Bigger Pockets podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.